Good, good.
There we go, there we go.
And the blue guy.
Do I gavel first or second?
You can gavel first, yeah.
Good afternoon. Today is Monday, May 11th, 2015, and I call to order the House Committee on Human Services and Housing. Need to let you know that Chair Genny Guyer, Representative Hayden, Representative Gallegos, and Representative Evans are all excused from today's meeting. I'd like to take a moment to welcome Debbie Malone, our new committee assistant, who is stepping in for the remainder of the session. Thank you very much and welcome. And with that, I will open the public hearing on Senate Bill 390A. Can we have a summary of the bill?
Certainly, Madam Vice Chair, members of the committee. Senate Bill 390A clarifies and defines terms associated with statutes outlining tenant and landlord relations, permits landlord to charge fee for failure to clean up waste of service animal or companion animals, specifies new permissible fees, clarifies definition of rent in relation to local, state, and federal housing assistance program payments, prohibits tenants from removing, obstructing, or tampering with sprinkler head used for fire suppression, clarifies process for fee assessment and application by landlord, provides exception to landlord and tenant from certain provisions in certain circumstances, requires landlord to provide emergency route of exit from bedroom, and allows tenant to terminate tenancy without conditions and recover damages for noncompliance, lists circumstances where tenant not responsible for damage. This bill comes to us from the Senate Committee on Judiciary, where it was heard and worked. It came with unanimous support. It has no revenue impact, and a fiscal statement has been issued, and it has a minimal fiscal impact.
Okay. And again, this is a public hearing, and we have three folks signed up to testify. So, John Van Landingham, Deborah, how do I say that last name?
MZ.
And Sean Miller, come on down. And Mr. Van Landingham, would you like to start?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would. My name is John Van Landingham. I work as a legal aid lawyer in Lane County. I am the primary tenant representative and the electronic secretary and the official splainer of this coalition bill, and have been since 1993. That's right, I'm old. And I've been doing this a long time. And this particular coalition, there are two coalitions. There's the Manufactured Housing Landlord-Tenant Coalition. That bill went through your committee earlier, House Bill 3016, co-sponsored by Representative Nathanson and Representative Kennemer. The other coalition is called the General Landlord-Tenant Coalition, a clever name to distinguish it from the Manufactured Housing Landlord-Tenant Coalition. And it is this one is the older of the two. It started in the early 80s when the two sides, landlords and tenants, realized that they were not going to get anywhere fighting each other, that the only way they were going to get to change the law would be if they got together, cooperated, worked things out, and traded horses. And it is still going. And it has had a compromise bill, in every legislative session since 1983, except one, when we agreed not to have a bill and to work instead on funding for affordable housing. So this is the 2015 version of that. We each keep lists of issues that we're interested in negotiating. Sometimes legislators refer issues to us. For example, Representative Nierman has indicated to us that he wants us to work on a couple of issues that he's interested in. There are other legislators that have done the same thing too. And so what we would do would be to take those issues after this session is over, start talking again, although we might want to take a break, and then come back in 2016 or 2017. We used to not have to come back every year, but now maybe we do. But anyway, this group on this bill met, I think, 11 times. Each meeting is 3 hours each. It's heavy negotiating. Nobody gets everything they want. If I were king, I wouldn't do some of these things. I'm not king. And I'm agreeing to some things in here that I think are okay, but I probably would rather not do, but they're okay. I can live with them in order to get something else that I do want. And I think each member of the coalition would make the same statement. So there's a risk in terms of pulling things out that it unravels. It's definitely something where we've compromised to get to where we are. I want to note that there was an argument made on the Senate floor that supported that senator's vote against the bill, in which he expressed a concern about a part of the bill that has to do with allocation of payments. Allocation of payments refers to this. When a tenant makes a payment to the landlord, sometimes the rental agreement will say, when you pay me, I'm going to take your payment. I'm first going to apply it to A, then to B, then to C, and finally to rent. Tenants tend to think if they pay you the amount of the rent, it's going to go to the rent. Those two things are inconsistent. There's been a lot of litigation in a lot of other states over that issue, and the cases have gone both ways. One of our goals in the coalition has been to resolve confusing areas by putting them in statute so that landlords and tenants can read those statutes and not have to pay a lawyer or not have to go to court to litigate that. So in this particular bill, we're determining where the payments go, what the order they go in. But we don't want to affect existing leases that are already in effect. So there's a provision in the bill that says that Section 10, the one that establishes the order of payments, Section 11 says Section 10 doesn't apply to existing contracts until they're renewed. Okay. And I believe the senator who made this argument on the Senate floor missed Section 11, which has that effective date provision. There may be other substantive concerns that different people have. It did get 7 no votes on the Senate floor, 21A, 7 no's. 5-0 vote out of the Senate committee. I'd be glad to talk about the detail if you have questions or if you want to fill up some more time, but I won't.
Yes.
Anybody have any? Well, shall we do all the speakers first?
I have a question directly on what he just said.
Okay, go ahead then.
Thank you, Chair. You mentioned, just to clarify, on not modifying existing contracts or existing leases until it's renewed. And so if someone's in a month-to-month rental contract where sometimes you go years upon years without officially renewing it, those would still stay with the original signed agreement?
Chair Peluso, Representative Stark, no. It's only the leases, the fixed-term tenancies. So okay. Lease is a colloquial term that we actually don't use in landlord-tenant law in Oregon, but it's commonly used to mean a fixed-term tenancy starts on X date and ends on Y date. And that agreement is viewed as a specific set term. Mm-hmm. And can't be amended by either side without agreement. Month-to-month tenancies can be amended by both sides and typically are viewed as constantly renewing. So a new month-to-month tenancy is every month there's a new one. So what Section 11 says that provision applies to month-to-month tenancies after the effective date, okay, which is January 1 of 2016. So we're giving some lead time so that landlords can get ready for that. Mm-hmm. And there are 3 major landlord organizations in the state, and 2 of them are represented at the table. The 2 statewide ones. The other one is represented by Cindy Robert, who is in the audience, and her group is primarily in Portland. But they sell forms to their members, and so this will give them some time to educate their members and sell forms with the right language in it. But specifically to answer your question, for month-to-month tenancies, it's effective January 1 of 2016. For leases, it's not effective until the lease is up.
And so may I follow?
Yes.
Thank you, Chair. And so is there any sort of required notice on those month-to-months if along these lines that, hey, now things are changing, now I'm applying, as a landlord, I'm applying your payments different, so will all landlords have to give some sort of a notice to their tenants saying officially things are changing on how we apply your payments?
Chair Peluso and Representative Stark, that's correct. So to amend a rental agreement, a landlord has to give a written notice, a 30-day notice. There's a statute, an existing statute that addresses that. Tenants can object, but typically in a month-to-month tenancy, they can't effectively object.
Right.
They can move, but they don't have a way to stop that change. So a landlord can say, I'm changing the rental agreement to do A, B, and C. And, you know, there are a lot of provisions in this bill that are both some are pro landlord and some are pro tenant, and for all those changes, if you're going to amend your rental agreement, you would do that. For example, one of the provisions here that's a significant change for landlords is to allow landlords to pass through something we're called a public service charge. Right now, they can pass through utility charges. For example, if PP&L bills the landlord for electricity, and the landlord wants to pass that through directly to the tenant, not have it treated as rent. You don't want to have it treated as rent, because to increase the rent, you have to give a 30-day rent increase notice. And you, electricity utility bills go up and down. So you want to be able to just pass that through directly. So current law already allows that. What it doesn't already allow is something called we're calling public service charge, where some municipal governments are starting to impose pass-through fees for things like livability or street fees or park fees. And landlords don't want to have to go through the process of raising the rent to cover those. It's not really something the landlord is incurring. It's the unit incurring it. And so we're allowing that to be passed through if it's in the written rental agreement. So the landlord will have to amend the written rental agreement to provide for that.
Okay. Other questions? All right. Thank you. Deborah, please state your name.
Chair Peloso, members of the committee, I'm Deborah Emsey, the Executive Director for Multifamily Northwest. Multifamily Northwest represents property managers and owners over the state covering over 150,000 rental units. And some of those are my largest member has 18,000 units in the state, but I also have several hundred members that have four units or less. So I have to wear kind of the hat on both sides. Each year we conduct hundreds of classes and trainings in a wide range of issues, landlord-tenant law, fair housing, and maintenance. And this all of this information and experience informs our work with the Landlord-Tenant Coalition, which we participated in for over 25 years. The coalition bills has been vetted by a wide range of stakeholders and represents a balance of housing concerns and interests. As with any coalition agreement, we had to compromise, and so do others. So as John already summarized, there are items in here that in a perfect world, I as a landlord would take right back out again. But compromise, knowing that there's something in there that you don't like is the art of compromise. We've, you know, come to our agreement from a wide range of perspectives, and I think sharing with the committee that is our strength. I happen to be a member of the National Apartment Association, so I'm familiar with a lot of arrangements in a lot of different states, and we are the only state that I'm aware of where landlords and tenant advocate groups get together and try to seek some compromise in order to really establish good housing policy. The coalition's a great resource for legislators that are interested in housing policy. And as John mentioned, several have asked us to take some things up after the session, and we're happy to do that. Multifamily Northwest supports Senate Bill 390A, and we urge you to pass a recommendation. Thank you, and I'm happy to answer questions.
Questions for the speaker? Alrighty, thank you very much. Sean.
Great. Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. Sean Miller. I'm here today on behalf of the Oregon Rental Housing Association, a statewide organization with local rental housing associations in various parts of the state. And so, you know, we are also in support of Senate Bill 390 and have been involved in the coalition for decades. And we do appreciate the compromises that we reach in within the bill. Several landlord benefits, several tenant benefits in the bill. And so, again, we do feel it's a good balance. And I'm happy to answer any questions on particular parts of the bill if you'd wish, but I'll leave it at that right now. Thank you.
Thank you. Again, questions from the speakers? Any of them?
Madam Chair, could I add one other point?
You bet.
Deborah mentioned the National Apartment Association. I'm also active at the national level with tenants, but also have met a number of the NAA national leaders. And I also participate in a national listserv of tenant lawyers. And I can't tell you how many times somebody poses a question on that about what have the courts in your state done about X? And my response is, we've addressed that by statute. We've negotiated that in this coalition, and we've provided a clear answer. It's not always pro-tenant, but it's a clear answer, and we know what the deal is, and we can go forward and not have to spend time litigating. It's an incredible benefit to us.
Excellent. So I do have one question. So you mentioned that this bill started in 1993?
The coalition, Chair Pelosi.
Oh, the coalition. I'm thinking, my gosh, sure. These things do take a long time. I wondered if you amended them since then.
Yes.
Holy shamoly.
Chair Pelosi.
So well, John
these
might
people
have
were in high school.
Yeah.
The coalition started in about 1983.
Oh, okay.
I got involved in 1989, and I've been the chief draftsperson since 1993.
And a lot of changes and stuff.
Yeah, Madam Chair, just to add to that, because I think 1995 was my first session, and we've passed actually a omnibus bill every year since I know I started. I think there's been one prior to me starting, but you know, have been able to come up with a bill that that we've all supported for every session.
That's excellent, excellent. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
So, hearing no more questions, I will close public hearing on Senate Bill 390. And anything for the good of the order, folks? I have this sinking suspicion that Chair Kenny Geyer has figured out a way to stream us, and she's watching. And so, Alyssa, we did it. We're fine. We're good, and we're adjourning.
Suspect she is. Based on my
I'm gonna
based on my
I'm gonna
learning.
Suspect she is.